God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Isaiah 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Dear friends in Christ, people walking in darkness have seen a great light. I'm sure that all of us at one time or another have experienced a power outage in our homes, perhaps because of an ice storm in the winter or a bad storm in the spring or summer. We're all familiar with what an electrical outage means. No electricity means darkness. It means bologna sandwiches instead of roast beef and mashed potatoes. It means having to talk instead of watching TV. It means early to bed. But even when we're not facing an ice or windstorm, life has a way of reminding us that we are a people walking in darkness and living in the land of the shadow of death. Boy, are we. Life has a way of making us forget about the joys of Christmas we just celebrated. No more chestnuts roasting on an open fire. No more dreams of a white Christmas. No more red-nosed reindeer or ho-ho-hos. Size 8 is being exchanged for size 12 or 14. Eggnog is on sale for 75% off. The last slice of pecan pie has been eaten, and the Christmas tree is laying at the curb because it's a fire hazard. Life has a way of making us forget about the joys of Christmas. And suddenly it hits us that even in an earthly sense, we are still a people walking in darkness. Santa wasn't able to solve all the darkness in our lives like we were needing and hoping. But darkness is worse than just Christmas coming to an end and bills having to be paid. Spiritual darkness is being cut off from God by our sins and leaving us with a mountain of sins and a hell that has to be paid for. Our greatest darkness is spiritual darkness. In fact, spiritually speaking, apart from Christ, we're not just living in the dark. We are darkness. Proverbs 4 says, "The way of the wicked is deep darkness." Apart from Jesus, Colossians 1 says that we are a people living in the kingdom of darkness. Ephesians 5 says, "You were once darkness." In our text, the two northern tribes of God's people, Zebulun and Naphtali, were conquered by the Assyrian armies. For them, the lights were turned off, and the party was over. God had given his people boatloads of presents, rescued them from Egypt, a home in the promised land flowing with milk and honey, forgiveness, life, and salvation. And the party didn't have to end. They could have continued living in the light, but the true light is found only in our Savior Jesus. John 1, in him Jesus was life, and that life is the light of the world. Life and light are finally found only in Jesus. And if you lose Jesus, you lose both, light and life. John 3:21 says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, namely Jesus. But men love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. When I was a young boy, I enjoyed watching The Lone Ranger. And week after week, we'd hear those words, "Nowhere in those sterling pages of yesteryear can we find a greater champion of justice. We turn again to those thrilling days of yesteryear, when out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver, for the Lone Ranger rides again." But did you ever notice that in every episode, about 29 minutes into the program, someone would inevitably ask the question, Who was that masked man? The townsfolk were in the clutches of death, inches from annihilation, about to be hornswoggled without a pistol and certainly in a pinch, when the Lone Ranger would ride into town, destroy their enemy, and set them free. But if you ever noticed, most of the townsfolk missed him. And every episode would end with the same question. Who was that masked man? And then the answer, it's the Lone Ranger. In the Old Testament, God's people, including Zebulun and Naphtali, had been rescued from Egypt, baptized in the parted waters of the Red Sea, fed and nourished for 40 years in the wilderness. They were given a home on the range in the Promised Land. Yahweh had again and again rescued and saved them, and yet somehow they missed it. They lost sight of their Savior. They took their eyes off of His salvation. They forgot about their forgiveness. Who was that Savior? Rather than asking, who was that masked man, they found themselves asking, who is that God that saved us? They had forgotten Him. And as a result, the Assyrian juggernaut, the rod of Yahweh's anger, attacked and conquered them. And the lights went out forever for Zebulun and Naphtali. In the parted waters of our baptism, you and I were called out of our Egyptian prison of sin. In the parted waters of our baptism, you and I were rescued from our Pharaoh, the devil, and delivered from the land of the shadow of death. In the Word and in the Lord's Supper, you and I are fed and nourished on our wilderness journey, on our way to the promised land of heaven, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade away, being kept in heaven for you. And our Savior continues to forgive and rescue us daily from sin, death, and the power of the devil. But what's the danger? That we lose sight of our hero, take our eyes off of our hero. We oftentimes relegate Jesus to a place behind marshmallow Santas, fruitcake, eggnog, video games. The lone Savior gets lost behind must-haves and can't live withouts. And sad to say, many would rather spend an hour in the clearance aisle than in God's house, where from the Christmas tree of the cross and God's word and sacraments, the life-giving gifts of God are continually being given out. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. And who doesn't like to receive gifts? John 1, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to all who call upon his name, he gives the right to be called the children of God. We are the rescued townsfolk waiting for our hero's return to carry us off into the sunset to his ranch in heaven. Think with me once more about those times when the lights went out in your home. Now, how would you have felt if the lights never came back on? There will come a day when the light of Christ will forever be taken away, when it will be impossible to ever hear your forgiveness again, when those who don't want the light and keep on refusing the light, Jesus will say to them, okay. They will live in their self-chosen invisibility forever in hell. But return with me to those thrilling days of yesteryear when the lone Savior rode into town, just as the announcer Isaiah said he would. And God's word spoke to those town folk who were living in the dark because of sin and who were darkness apart from Jesus because of sin. And it was a self-made darkness for those who've chosen to turn the light of Christ off in their lives by refusing, forgetting their Savior. And now they live in fear of anything, fear of everything that goes bump in the night. Thankfully, the lone Savior rode into town, never gave up on us, and God's word declares, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, God humbled Zebulun and Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. and on those living in the land of the shadow of death a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and of his peace and rule there will be no end. And not just any old light. Luke writes, an angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and the angel said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, and he is Christ the Lord. Simeon reminds us that Jesus is a light to lighten the Gentiles for the glory of God's people Israel. The Magi marveled. We saw a star in the east and have come to worship them. And what a light show it was. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his kingdom and peace there will be no end. Talk about good news. To all who know that our sins deserve weeping and gnashing of teeth, Jesus tells us in John 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Think about how you feel when the lights go out in your own home. And if it happens in the winter, think about being without heat. But what happens when the lights come back on? There's rejoicing. Hooray! There's new life. The lights coming back on mean no more darkness. They mean safety. They mean warmth. They mean roast beef and mashed potatoes instead of bologna sandwiches. And life is restored. Now multiply that a trillion times, as Jesus says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. For I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. God has turned on the light of forgiveness, life, and salvation for us through our lone Savior, Jesus. In his birth, we celebrate endless birthdays. In his death and resurrection, we celebrate never-ending life. In his blood, we celebrate ultimate forgiveness from every sin and everything that could harm us. Whereas most people missed the Lone Ranger and had to ask themselves, who was that masked man? May we, as Hebrews says, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And then as we fix our eyes on Jesus, we'll never have to ask, who was that crucified man? No, we will know our lone Savior. Galatians 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. So rejoice then, you sad-hearted, for not even the darkness of the cross, nor the darkness of Good Friday, nor the darkness of hell, much less the darkness of the grave, could overcome this light. For this child who unto us is born is also unto us put to death, and unto us made alive again. And of the increase of his kingdom and peace there will be no end. Why? Because Jesus' empty tomb means that the phrase, all good things must come to an end, is simply baloney. And on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Who was that crucified man? The lone Savior. And he rides and lives again and forevermore. Amen.